Hey there, Quajo here, and if you haven't heard my voice, I'm the new host of the Art of Online Business. Quick update on my new offer. I did not expect the initial launch spots to sell out so fast. I'm talking about Facebook Ad Setup to Success, which is one-on-one Facebook ads coaching for the driven course creator from me, three Zoom calls within a month, and unlimited support in between so that you can run your lead generation campaigns, your launch campaigns, your SLO, self-liquidating offer funnels, exactly like I would, getting all my tips and tricks and strategies, plus just unlimited support inside of Slack or Voxer, or one lady's even doing it from inside of Messenger, with screen recordings, Loom recordings, this sort of thing, questions. This is what I'm doing, but all those limited spots at the initial launch price, they are gone. And I just wanted to explain that out of integrity to the people who took those first spots. The price has gone up, and there's one spot, maybe two, if I do some scheduling jujitsu for May. Otherwise, we're booking into June. You can click on the link in the description below to find out more, or you can go to theartofonlinebusiness.com/call if you need that kind of one-on-one Facebook help. All right, back to the episode.
I've never really been too focused on the CPC because they're vanity metrics, right? I mean,
Yeah,
what
sure.
matters is the result, obviously, and can you get more clients or more leads or more sales or whatever it is profitably for that client?
This is the show where I bring you the best tips, tactics, and strategies for using paid traffic to grow your business on autopilot. You also hear what's working and not working right now from the top minds in online marketing so that you can get more leads and sales every day without having to empty your wallet in the process. All right, let's jump into it. What is up? Welcome to the Art of Paid Traffic podcast. Rick Mulready here. This is episode number 178, and I am super pumped about today's episode as this is one that I've been looking forward to sharing with you guys for a while now. We don't talk a ton here in the show about how to use Google AdWords to grow and market your business. And I've been wanting to change that for a while now. And I wanted to do that by bringing on one of the very best in the business, one of the very best in the world, actually, when it comes to Google AdWords. And his name is Mike Rhodes. And Mike is the owner of an agency down in Australia called Web Savvy. Basically, I started asking around several months ago who the go-to person is when it comes to leveraging Google AdWords to market and grow your business. And Mike's name kept coming up time and time again. So I got connected with him, and I am pumped to bring you his wisdom here today. Now, when I say AdWords, I don't necessarily mean just search terms and, you know, like sponsored listings. Today, we dive into how to leverage Google's whole product suite. So in addition to search, we also talk about things like shopping ads and display and remarketing and YouTube and Gmail ads. So we cover it all here in the episode. So you're going to learn how Mike got started in Google AdWords and then the two books that really changed the way that Mike thinks about business and about money. We talk about the importance of diversifying your advertising beyond just Facebook. We talk about why he doesn't focus on the cost per click and what metric matters most to him instead. Mike talks about how to use Google to tell if people actually want what you're selling and the many ways that you can use AdWords in your marketing. I put Mike on the spot. I throw out a random business. He didn't know I was going to do this. I throw out a random business to him and ask him how he'd market it with AdWords. That's always fun. Mike shares the very first thing to do when considering using AdWords to market your business. We also talk about who AdWords is probably right for and who it's probably not best for. We also talk about what you absolutely need to be doing right now if you're an e-commerce business and a whole lot more. So I just got back from a retreat for a mastermind that I'm a part of. And I was up in Laguna Beach for the past couple of days. And I'm recording this. I literally just got back a few hours ago. And I don't know what it was about this particular retreat, but it was super helpful for me this time around. And I mean, they're all really helpful, but for some reason, I got a ton of great ideas this time around, and I cannot wait to share them with you and also implement them in our business here. And I've always tried to surround myself with other high performers, and it's so cool. We did an exercise this time around where everybody went around and shared. We were all broken up into different tables, and at each table, we shared one or two things that's working really well in our business right now. And then we picked the best of those and we shared them with the entire group. So it is so cool when you can all get together like that and share what's working in your business. I walked away with pages of really cool new ideas and also feedback on what we're working on here in our business. So I cannot recommend joining a mastermind or a group coaching program enough. A lot of fun. Always good to hang out with other people who are up to big things in their life and in their business and share ideas and get feedback and stuff like that. So just want to share that with you. At the end of this episode, I'm going to share with you how you can learn more about my Accelerator group coaching program, which is off to an awesome start, getting a lot of questions around that. So I'll give you some more information about that. Also, before we dive in, I wanted to acknowledge and thank everybody who has been leaving a rating and review for the show over on iTunes. And I want to acknowledge one person in particular for a recent review that they left. They said, awesome show, highly recommend, 5 stars. This is from Jay Barshop. Jay, thank you so much for this review. Jay says, Rick and his guests provide some incredibly actionable and compelling content, spotlighting the coming trends and absolute best marketing tactics to help you effectively grow your business. Highly recommend listening and subscribing to The Art of Paid Traffic if you want the knowledge and mindsets to get ahead of the curve and reach your overall business goals as a result. So big thanks to Jay Barshop and everybody who has left ratings and reviews for the show there on iTunes. If you have not yet done that and you'd like to support the show, I'd really appreciate you taking a second to do it. It's a big help and allows us to help more people and reach more people with the show over on iTunes. So thank you again for everybody who has done that. Without further ado, let's go hang out with Mike Rhodes. Mike, welcome to the podcast. How's it going, man?
Nice to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Absolutely. I'm grateful to have you on the show here. We've been trying to set this up for a little while. And when I started asking around about who is the go-to AdWords person, your name came up several times. And psyched to have you on the show here and talk about some AdWords. And as we were just talking about before we hit record here, you know, we talk a lot about Facebook ads here on the show, obviously, I know there's a massive opportunity that I think gets overlooked from people when it comes to AdWords, you know, and, so I'd love to dive into the opportunities and the types of businesses that AdWords are right and maybe wrong for to be testing out and stuff like that during this conversation here. But before we do, tell us about yourself. You're down there in Australia. And
I'm down in Australia.
Talk to us a little bit about, what you're doing right now and sort of what your background is.
I'm a reformed POM. So I grew up in the UK. That's what Aussies call English POMs.
Okay.
It goes back to, yeah, we won't go there, history. So left there a while back, been in Oz for a while. Always loved the business of business. So on the way over, I stopped in New Zealand for a bit, ended up setting up a business there, ended up staying there for a little bit, went for 3 months, stayed for 3 years, grew that up and sold it. Because of two books that a mate gave me, The E-Myth Revisited by Mr. Gerber and The Cash Flow Quadrant by Robert Kiyosaki.
Yes,
Those two books changed the way I thought about business, about money, about a whole lot of stuff. I can't really remember how I thought about those things before reading those. Mm-hmm. But that was, oh my God, 19 years ago.
I was just going to ask you, when was that? Yeah, 19 years ago. Okay.
Yeah, 99 I started that business. Last millennium, when some of your dear listeners won't have been born. Oh my God. So I've always loved that. I've always loved helping people with their business. I became an E-Myth coach after that to try and help people systemize their business. And I was sucked at it because I was just terrible at getting clients for it. You know, I'm rocking in there nice and green going, I've built and sold one business. I can help you systemize your business. I've got this folder from Gerber that tells me how.
Right.
And they were all like, you can leave now, you know. Can you get me more customers?
Yeah.
Yes, that's module 5, but we have to start at the beginning.
Right.
I just want module 5. I'm not allowed to sell you module 5. Yeah, we have to start at the beginning. We have to systemize things, your mindset, your da-da-da. Yeah. You can leave now. That's the polite version. And then I saw Perry Marshall present Google AdWords in 2004, and I went, oh my God, this is it. This is what they all want and need.
Yeah.
You know, to only show an ad to people that are looking for you, to only pay if someone's interested enough to click on this ad. And of course, back then it was 5 cents all day long. It was the good old days of Google AdWords.
Yeah.
But I decided to stop paying Goober an insane amount of money at that point. And well, I didn't set up the agency straight away. I started sort of helping people here and there for case of beer here and helping with their business. A friend of mine ended up giving me half of his business. He said, I don't want you to consult. I want to go 50-50 with you. Come on in. We ended up selling $100,000 worth of stuff in 3.5 weeks with my first AdWords account.
Really? So he wanted to partner with you because of your knowledge of AdWords at that time.
Which my knowledge at that time was about 3 weeks old.
Yeah.
But he said, yeah, I don't want you to come in and try and teach me how to do this.
Sure.
I don't want to learn it. But let's go 50-50. Yeah.
You did 100K in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
What kind of business was that?
We were selling UGG boots.
UGG boots?
UGG boots, which is a very Australian thing.
Yeah.
But it was taking off back then. You know, Paris Hilton was getting photographed wearing them, and every American teenage girl wanted them. So just before Christmas in 2004, it went absolutely crazy. I learned the hard lesson of customer service and having a good manufacturer and a bunch of other lessons from that, because we ended up, you know, that ended up being a horrible, horrible business to be in.
Mm-hmm.
And took a couple of months to dig out of that hole. But I knew that AdWords had worked. And long story short, I set up the agency not too long after that, and we've been going around about 10 years.
So you went right from that into building an agency or creating an agency at that point?
Pretty much. I ended up wandering off for a year and a half to help a mate run his business, because it was an opportunity to put myself on stage and to get practice public speaking, which Kiyosaki had told me a few years earlier was a really important thing to do. You know, I remember him telling me, like, you can't sell one-to-one. It's too slow. You need to be able to talk to lots of people at once. You need to be able to sell one-to-many.
Yep.
And so this opportunity came up, and I went, I remember him talking about that. Okay, I'll do that for a bit. And then talking about AdWords and talking about digital strategy here in Australia, actually for a radio company. I ended up doing this gig on stage for about 9 years for a radio company, which was interesting because obviously they were at the very other end of the spectrum of above the line, not really measuring anything. And I was the sort of digital friendly guy that came in and spoke to their clients.
Were you primarily focusing on local types of businesses?
I guess back then it was. Yeah. These were, like, if you think of any business that you'd hear on the radio, I mean, a lot of them were national because they were big enough to have the people that the radio station would take away to Vietnam or Fiji or Hong Kong, wherever it was these things were, they were obviously the top sort of 5-10% of those radio clients.
Yeah.
So a lot of them were national.
Yeah.
But some of them had, you know, 2-3 stores locally. We had builders, people selling blinds and doors and shower screens, and lawyers, and any business that, you know, that you can imagine, really.
Sure.
Any business that you see on the high street. And AdWords worked phenomenally well for those businesses. Not many people were pure e-com back in those days.
Yeah.
I was learning as I was going, and I was you know, a year or two ahead of a bunch of other businesses, and we just had a ball. It was just so much fun.
How is it? I mean, the question that keeps popping in my mind right now is, how has it evolved? But man, we could talk for hours about that. I guess, like, what's so different now that you're excited about that? And I guess on the flip side of that is, what do you wish you could do more of now that you could do that you can't really do that you could do a whole lot of before? Obviously, the costs have, you know, risen over the past several years, obviously. Yeah, but
obviously, but.
Yeah, what
but
are some of those things?
That's not really important, right? I mean, I remember having a client, and even this is probably going back 6-7 years ago. They're not a client anymore, but even back then, it was $80 to $100 a click.
Mm.
I've never really been too focused on the CPC because they're vanity metrics, right? I mean, matters is the result, obviously, and can you get more clients or more leads or more sales or whatever it is profitably for that client? And for all of our clients, I'm very thankful to say that, yes, that's, you know, that's what we do month after month after month for them. What do I wish? That's a great question. It was simpler back then. You know, I often use this slide in my talks of, like, a little kid sitting in a toy plane. You know, the dashboard inside of Google 10 years ago was like one of those little toy planes. You had a couple of dials and a couple of switches, and now it's like the cockpit of the space shuttle. There's a million buttons to press and dials, and It's far more complicated. Google obviously keep trying to simplify,
yeah.
But in doing that, they're taking a lot of control away from us, and I'm an absolute card-carrying control freak, so I don't like them dumbing down the interface to try and make it more appealing to a wider audience, because mm-hmm. they're obviously trying to get more people sure. onto the platform,
yeah.
By taking away a bit of control.
What are some of those things that they have taken away, like when you talk about control there? Because I did want to ask you about the interface, because that's always been a big you know, challenge for people, or you know, a big roadblock, you know, because you look at the, you know, look at Facebook ads and ads manager and Power Editor, is once you get in and get the hang of it, it's pretty straightforward. But AdWords does not have that reputation, and I do know that they have made strides over the past little while to, as you say, like make it a little bit easier. But I'm really anxious to hear what do you feel that they have sort of, what is that, some of the control they've taken away?
It's funny because we're right in the middle of this whole new interface launching, and, and I ask around, you know, people in the industry, and I'd say at least half, maybe more like 80% of agencies are pretty dirty about the whole thing. A lot of people have not started playing with this new interface. One rumor I've heard is Google are going to turn off the old one this month, potentially.
Oh, really?
So everybody's just going to have to, because they can't support two at once indefinitely, and they're starting to move features bit by bit, or only roll out new features in the new interface to force us all over there. Obviously, AI and machine learning is a huge part of the way forward for them. So I look at it this way. They're looking at it going, look, there is so much data available. And up until now, we've given you some of those. So which device somebody might be on, maybe which city they're in, obviously, you know, the time of day. And have they been to your website or not before, basically, if they're on a remarketing list? That's pretty much all of the levers that we have in order to say, I want to bid more or less.
Mm-hmm.
Google, when you jump onto google.com and do that search, they're looking at 70 million bits of data in real time to figure out who to show where on that page.
Wow.
Even if they could give us 15, 30 pieces of that data.
And you're not like, talking, you're not saying 15 million, you're talking 15 data points, yeah.
All of the context that they're looking at, all those previous searches, how they browse, whether this is someone that typically converts or not, whether they're on their phone on the train right now, whether they're on holiday or sitting at work, they know that, but they've inferred that.
Sure. Through
all of those patterns, through all their machine learning, they know that they can't give us all of that data. Even if they could, you know, the AI, the UI would be insane. If it's complicated now, it would just be ridiculous. So they're saying, look, this is just too hard. And yet this data is highly predictive, and it helps you as an advertiser be more profitable. We're just going to do all the AI machine learning bit for you. You just stand back out of the way, and here you go. Mm. Here's an audience. And I think they're starting to take quite a few pages from Facebook in terms of simplifying that and more audience targeting and moving away bit by bit. You know, keywords are not dead yet.
Yeah.
But bit by bit, they're sort of trying to move away from this pesky thing you have to do when you set up a new AdWords account. You've got to write these ads. You've got to choose keywords. You use this confusing keyword planner. Then you've got to choose some bids. And then there's all these layers and things. And like you say, this confusing interface. And, oh, I can bid differently based on age and gender and device. And city and it's so confusing, and they want more businesses using the platform. You know, they know that Facebook and Amazon are coming at them hard and taking a chunk of potentially taking a chunk of cash away. They're still growing at 20% a year. They're don't worry too much about Google's bank balance. They're doing all right.
Right, exactly. So with all that, do you think that it is, even as it is right now, is it an opportunity for the quote unquote everyday entrepreneur, you know, the normal quote unquote business owner who is looking to diversify their traffic? You know, maybe they're doing Facebook ads, and I do want to get into what businesses do you think it makes the most sense for, in addition to e-commerce, of course, but are there other businesses that doesn't make sense for, but just sort of, is it still an opportunity for someone to go in there and do it themselves? Or is it still kind of, you know, if you really want to do AdWords the right way, you kind of need to be hiring somebody like yourself.
Yeah, obviously I'm biased on that. And
sure.
I don't want to be self-serving, but I think that it used to be a game of 80-20,
yep.
where, you know, the top 20% would take 80% of the spoils. it's moved over the past few years to a game of 95-5, and it's fast approaching 99-1.
Mm.
If it's a game of 99-1, if 1% of the appetizers are coming away with 99% of the wins, then it's very, very difficult to try and learn to do that yourself. Now, yep. I love teaching. I'm a teacher at heart.
Yep.
So I teach a few hundred agencies how to do AdWords. Well, yes, they're effectively competitors, but the world's a very big place.
Sure.
Because it is a confusing thing. If you're a small business owner, mm-hmm. I wouldn't try and learn it yourself. It's too easy to melt a credit card and get your ass handed to you.
Yeah.
And you're competing with a whole bunch of smart agencies. And this has always been the hard thing, and I've always struggled with this, because if you're a small business and you want to spend $500 a month because you know you need mm-hmm. to diversify, you can't be solely dependent on Facebook, and you're giving them a couple of grand a month, you know you need to be trying AdWords. People are searching for the stuff you've got. That's how you know if it's useful. Back to your original question.
Yeah,
if people jump on Google and search for the stuff you've got, if there's a longer consideration phase of the thing that they're trying to buy, whether that's a house or a microphone or a stand-up desk or, you know, all the stuff I'm surrounded by that I didn't just wake up one morning and go, I'm going to buy that,
mm-hmm.
off we go. Anything where you're searching and looking and revisiting those websites, it's going to make sense for. But it is very hard to do that yourself. But I do think businesses need to diversify. I think there's going to be a lot of talk. We've talked before we hit record about traffic and conversion coming up.
Yep.
I don't want to date this podcast, but I think there'll be a lot of talk this year about this need to be on more than one.
Yeah.
Who was it? Dan Kennedy, I think, is where the quote should be attributed to, of, you know, one is the most dangerous number for any business.
Yeah. Yeah.
One customer, one platform.
Yeah.
All of that. So, yes, e-com, it absolutely makes a ton of sense for. Mm-hmm. Google are starting to show those little shopping ads more and more and more. More than half of the clicks last quarter, you know, leading through the holiday buying period, mm-hmm. we're on those little shopping ads on the front page of Google. Google make more money from those than regular text ads now, especially at that time of year.
Yeah.
And there is so much to AdWords. I think when we talk about Google AdWords, most people still think of those little text ads at the top of the page.
Yeah.
But you've got search, you've got shopping, you've got display, which are ads on 2 million plus websites and over a million apps. You've got remarketing.
Yeah.
You've got YouTube, Gmail. There's a lot to it. And that's probably one of the things that does make it even more confusing. With Facebook, it's fairly easy to say, okay, I want to start by only showing on mobile and only showing in the newsfeed. Let's go.
If I'm so glad you brought that up, because I did want to kind of talk about that, or like all the different opportunities, because when most people think of AdWords these days, they do think of, you know, just the search term results. But as you mentioned, shopping, display, remarketing, YouTube, Gmail. We have talked about Gmail ads here in the podcast in the past and the opportunity that exists, as well as YouTube and so forth. Where would you recommend, if a business is thinking about doing AdWords for, you know, and diversifying, where do you think they should start? Obviously, it's going to be different for everybody. But, you know, just kind of from what you see sort of across the board, is there sort of, you know, the... And again, it's a tough question because every business has different needs. Is there, if you were to pick one kind of a direction to start with, what would that be?
I would say start by looking at the assets that you already have.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a well-known brand, if people are looking for you, searching for you, now that could be your name, it could be the name of your podcast or the name of your book or a product that you have, then start just with that. Yes, a large number of those people were going to find you anyway in the organic search results.
Yeah.
But if you're not bidding on your own brand name, there are probably three or four people who are, and their ads are sitting above you.
Yep.
And especially on a mobile phone, you could be a scroll or two away from actually finding your business. Start there. It's the cheapest clicks you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
It's the hardest thing to mess up.
Yeah.
And it's a great way just to dip your toe in the water and learn about things like tracking and how you know if it's working, and understand things like keyword intent and you know, some of that nuance that you need as you start to spend more money.
Yeah.
Start there. Then look at, what assets do we have? Do we already have some traffic? In which case, remarketing should probably be towards the top of that list. Do we have a big customer list or a big prospect list? Should we try showing ads to them? Because you could show, if you were going to do YouTube, you could choose to only show videos to people that are already on that email list, or people that have already been to your website in the past 15 days, or just the people that have clicked on an add to cart button on your website in the last 15 days, if there's enough of them to make it interesting. Mm-hmm. So what assets do you already have? Brand, traffic, lists, start there. If you're e-com, you need to be doing Google Shopping ads.
Yep.
We used to call them PLAs, product listing ads, now called Google Shopping. It's just, yeah, you're picking up money off the table. I mean, it's again, harder to get wrong. There's a lot of setup. You've got to get your website talking to this sort of halfway house for data sitting in the middle called Google Merchant Center, and mm-hmm. link that into AdWords. Just pay someone to set it up, get it going. None of AdWords is set and forget. I want to be very clear about that, but it is a little bit more set and forget than some of the other things that you could try. You know, almost really the last thing that you try these days is what we call non-brand search. So choosing keywords that are the things that you sell, the products and services that you sell. They tend to be more competitive. They tend not to turn into customers or leads as much. In other words, they don't tend to convert mm-hmm. as well.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot more nuance to that. You have to sort of understand where someone is in that mythical funnel.
Yeah.
You know, are they just browsing around? Are they comparing things? Are they pulling the credit card out of the pocket and ready to buy? Leave that bit till last. And if you're very familiar with Facebook, then maybe sort of dip your toe in with a bit of Google Display. It's it's similar. It is a very different mindset still. I mean, we talk about it in the office all the time.
Yeah.
How similar they are, but also completely different.
Talk a little bit more about that, because so we have the two things that you mentioned there, or two other things that you mentioned there that I wanted to kind of hone in a little bit, is the remarketing and the display. Can you kind of sort of break those down for people and kind of what they are and where they kind of fall into all this?
There's a wonderful quote by Bucky Fuller who says, if you want to teach, you give people a tool. So I've created a tool for the display network, which I think is the best way to get your head around it, to understand it. Ken McCarthy, a mutual friend of ours, saw it and went, this is the best explanation of Google I've ever seen. This is wonderful, which I will take with me to the grave. Thank you, Ken. I also showed it to the global head of Google Display Network end of last year, and she had actually just bumped into it and passed it all around her team and thought it was wonderful without realizing.
Oh, really? Nice.
Credit.
Nice.
Yeah, that was a win. So
they didn't take credit for it.
No, that's good. But it is on a Google Doc, so they probably like that. But if your listeners want to go to thedisplaygrid.com.
The Display Grid. Okay.
Yeah. So you don't go to one of my websites. It's just a Google spreadsheet that anyone can get access. You don't get cookied. I won't remarket you. I can see someone's just jumped on there, so that might be you. But I love this. Every time I open this up, there's half a dozen people looking at this page.
Oh, really? But thedisplaygrid.com. Okay, I'll link it up in the show notes. Awesome.
Beautiful. And what you'll find is down the left-hand side, I've got a list of all of the different types of ads that you can show. So banner ads, text ads, these things called responsive ads, which is where Google's kind of making it up as it goes along, Gmail ads, and various types of YouTube ads. And then across the top, we've got all of the different ways that you can target those ads, how you tell Google where to show your ads. And broadly, there's three buckets. We've got the green ones, which is where you're saying to Google, go target my ads based on the content that's on that page.
Hmm.
So you might say, go find me pages that match the theme of, I don't know, iPhone cover. And Google will go out there across these 2 million websites and all of the billions of pages that are in there and go find pages that are talking about that. Could be an article in the New York Times tech section. It could be a blog or a forum. It will go find those pages and put your ad next to that stuff. The big assumption being that if someone's reading content about that, they're probably more interested than the average bear about actually doing something about it or maybe buying something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then we've got all of the blue stuff over on the right hand side there, which is all of the audience type stuff. So all of your different remarketing audiences, you know, people that have previously been to your website, people that have viewed one of your YouTube videos, people that have subscribed to your YouTube channel, people that are on your email list that we talked about before, and dynamic remarketing, which if you're doing shopping again, is an absolute must. You know, showing people the exact product that they've just been looking at for the next couple of days as they wander around the web. And then the bit I love is the interest targeting in the middle, which is maybe a little bit more similar to the Facebook marketing that many people are familiar with. Google have this broken into a bunch of different categories, but essentially it's either a long-term interest or a short-term interest. It's either a long-term interest in maybe baseball or basketball or the outdoors or investing. you've demonstrated to Google over a long period of time, because surprise, surprise, Google's watching everything that we do, the videos that we watch, the websites we go to. It's not reading our emails anymore. They stopped doing that recently, but it's looking at basically everything that we do. Plus, of course, don't forget they own Chrome and Android, so they know an awful lot about an awful lot of us. And then that the really interesting one in there is that short-term interest, and they call it the in-market audience.
Mm.
And there's actually a whole bunch of tabs across the bottom of that Google sheet as well. So there's a list of all of those in-market and those affinity audiences in there. There's about 500 of them. And so you can go and have a little look through there and go, oh, wow, let me open that up now. What have we got down here? So apparel and accessories, athletic shoes, or luggage, or a whole bunch of different motor vehicles. These are saying people that are in the market for not just a car, but in the market for an Audi, or in the market for a new CRM system, if you sell anything to do with that. So you can say Google is looking at your search behavior, your browsing behavior in the very, very recent past, 1 to 2 weeks sort of time frame, and saying these are people that are in the market right now for this thing. And there's about 500 of those, as I say.
So where would they show, so taking this data, where would they then show the ad? Would it be a display ad, or is it whatever that you are choosing, whether it's a video or on YouTube?
Exactly, down that left-hand side, whatever type of ad you've decided to add to that campaign, it's going to show that type of ad, but it's not going to show in a particular place now. Now it's worrying about the person viewing, not where the ad's shown. So it's going to target the person and say, ah, this person is in the market for that. Now, they happen to be on Gmail right now, they happen to be on YouTube, or they happen to be on Oprah.com or CNN or one of these 2 million sites. I'm going to show them an ad because of what I know about them, not what I know about the website right now.
Gotcha.
It's 500 of those.
Yeah.
The future for this is, and this is very new, it's still in beta right now, but I think it's the future for display, partly because they're taking a leaf out of Facebook's book, but also because of the power of their machine learning, which is to allow us to now build our own in-market audiences. And by building this little theme and giving Google sort of half a dozen keywords and maybe a couple of domain names to say, people that are interested in this sort of thing, because maybe what you sell isn't on this list. Maybe it's close, but it's not really the same. So now you get to build your own audiences and say, people that are interested in this in the very, very recent past, don't forget, just in the last 1 or 2 weeks, people that have been to these sorts of websites and have been searching for these sorts of terms, go put my ads in front of those.
Mm.
That, I think, is going to be hugely, hugely powerful as the machine learning gets better, as they get more data.
Sure.
But that's the direction Google are heading in.
So it doesn't really sound like, there's not really one business that sounds like that there's, it's not, this is not right for. Because there's so many different opportunities here, from the display network to Gmail to YouTube to search to shopping.
Yeah, I guess if I was a takeaway cafe, I probably wouldn't be using it. or impulse purchase type stuff, like very low price point, very low consideration.
Sure.
But yes, that's probably what, 5-10% of businesses. Everybody else can probably find a way, and just to diversify. You don't want to be, I don't think, in 2018, 100% dependent on Zuck.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, as far as the display network, we kind of started to touch on that, and this is more of the the old-fashioned, old-school, just like the banner ads and stuff like that. Mm. But you have the opportunity to show up from a retargeting standpoint, just kind of like what you were just talking about, in a, you know, some people might think a little bit of a creepy way. I think it's more of just like contextually relevant.
That's the key though, right? We've been talking about remarketing for 7 years, and I've always said, you know, that the key is to stay on the right side of the creepy line.
Yeah.
And you want to follow people the way the FBI follow people, not the way the creepy guy at the end of the road follows people. The way the FBI follow you, there's 10 blokes in a helicopter and you don't know that you're being followed, because it's always somebody different behind you. So if you have a wide mix of ads, if you are seen in a bunch of different places and it's not always the same message and always the same ad, it's not nearly as obvious that this business is following you around.
Yeah.
And if you try different benefits and different calls to action, but different messaging, then sooner or later, you're going to figure out what resonates with the bulk of your market. But remarketing done badly is, I know you just came to my website. Come back, come back, and same ad over and over and over again. That's creepy.
That is creepy. Well, let's do a hypothetical. I'm going to put you on the spot here. let's do a hypothetical business, and I'll just kind of give you just throw some things at you and just kind of how we would approach it from an AdWords perspective. Let's just say I'm a local yoga studio, and you know, I have classes throughout the day, and I'm trying to get people into my into the studio. I have an email list of, let's say, 6,000 people, and you know, I get a little bit of traffic to the site, not a ton, but I get people coming to the site to check out, you know, schedule a classes and find a little bit more about the instructors and so forth. Where would we start with that? I didn't give you a heads up I was going to do this.
No, and I've got to sort of think back, because it's pretty rare that we work with businesses like that these days, just from a budget point of view, you know. So probably don't have much of a brand, but a few people would be knowing them by name, and we'd still start there, create a brand campaign. If someone is looking for you by name, you do not want those three competitors putting their ad up above you. You'd load that email list into Google. Mm-hmm. Might not be too usable. It might not get you much, but hey, it's better than nothing. And you can build, you know, in Facebook terms a lookalike, in Google terms a similar audience to that. Hey, okay. Google, find me people that are like this. And that's just about to improve. The rumor is that's coming out very, very soon, next few weeks.
The algorithm.
Similar audience.
Okay, yeah,
the algorithm.
Okay. Yep.
And the UI, but the algorithm behind what a similar audience looks like.
Gotcha.
Facebook killing Google in that regard at this point. It's much, much better.
Yep.
You haven't got much traffic, so you're not really too worried about remarketing. Mm-hmm. But down the track, you've got to be thinking about how the little bit of traffic that you do get is very valuable to you. Mm-hmm. And so a small remarketing campaign, it's not going to do a whole lot for you. Don't expect to spend a lot of money. You probably couldn't spend more than $100 a month on something like that for the remarketing part, but you should have it, because yep. that little bit of traffic that you get is going to be valuable to you. And then, having just said that non-brand search is probably the hardest bit to get right, mm-hmm. I would probably be thinking yeah. about that. If people are searching for, you know, where I am in Melbourne is a place called South Yarra. South Yarra Yoga Studio, South Yarra Pilates, mm-hmm. South Yarra Yoga Classes,
yeah.
all of that stuff. Now, if I didn't sell apparel, I would make sure to say to Google, if anyone's searching for yoga pants, yoga mat, all of that stuff, don't show my ad.
Okay.
It's this thing called negative keywords. So
yep.
just as we have keywords to say, go show my ad to these people, negative keywords to say, don't show my ads to these people. If I'm selling, then obviously I'm going to set up some shopping ads and try and compete with that. It is very hard for that small business to compete. You know, AdWords is a game of majorities.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're a small, all the time we see these, there'll be some sort of type of small business, might be a hairdresser, say, that's got their own product line. I don't know, maybe they read Tim Ferriss's book and they got some stuff in from China and they slapped a badge over the front of it. I want to run some ads. It's like, why would anybody buy your product with a brand that no one's ever heard of compared right. to these huge national brands?
Yeah.
The majority of people are going to go for the huge national brand. AdWords is a game of majorities. So when you're picking even just a keyword, you're thinking about, would the majority of people searching for this word, would they be interested in buying what I've got? Or actually, do most of them mean something else by that? You know, are they looking for something else? Is it kids doing homework projects and research? Mm-hmm. If they're searching, you know, if the single word yoga, that could mean a bunch of different things to a bunch of different people. So yeah. you wouldn't have that. You wouldn't choose that right. as a keyword because it means too many different things. But a little bit more detailed, like yoga studio, yoga yep. class, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
If you didn't offer teaching, again, you wouldn't show ads for yoga teacher training or anything like that, yoga certification. Mm-hmm. Not a market I'm familiar with, as you can tell. You can see
I put you on the spot with that one.
Definitely. No, I don't do yoga.
Well, you mentioned at the very beginning there, because I know that people that listening to this right now are thinking about costs, like how much does this cost and stuff like that. And you mentioned in the first minute of our conversation talking about that the cost per click, you know, are vanity metrics, basically. It really comes out to, what is it actually costing me to get a customer or to get a sale? So talk a little bit about that in some sort of hopefully simple ways for people to be tracking that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm so glad you asked that question, because really everything starts for me with tracking. You think about tracking first, you work out what you're going to measure first, and then you start throwing a bit of money at it. Doing what we're just doing, setting up all these campaigns, even if you're only spending $500 a month, if you weren't tracking anything, you're flying blind and you don't have a hope of improving. And the whole game with this is to do more of the good stuff, less of the bad. Mm-hmm. So for something like that, let's stick with that example. You probably have two main calls to action that you want people to do. You probably have some sort of form on the site that says come along for a free class, or mm-hmm. you know, free 14-day membership or something like that. And there's some sort of form on the website that people are going to fill in, and there's probably a phone number that you want people to call to book in for the same thing. So you're going to track those two things. When someone fills out a form, for some reason web designers love to have this little bit of green text pop up that says, thanks, we've got your details, someone will be in touch soon. And you stay on the same page and nothing really changes. Mm-hmm. I think that's confusing for the user. It also makes life harder for you to track.
Yep.
So job number one, build what's called a thank you page. Have when someone fills out that form, have them go to a different page and start to set up the conversation about what happens next. It means you can track it much more easily. You can still track the other stuff, but it's just way harder. Now you're looking at how many people came to my website compared to how many people made it to the thank you page. Google gives you a little bit of code, which you put on the thank you page. And every time someone lands on that thank you page, if they came from one of your ads, that page is having a chat back to Google and saying, hey, got another one. Put a tick next to that keyword. Mm-hmm. Put a tick next to that ad, next to that campaign, so that you can measure what did well and what didn't. On the call side, there's a million different options. Google have a free service, which is actually pretty good, especially in the States. It's a little bit flaky outside of the States, but it's a pretty good place to start. If you wanted to spend $10 to $50 a month to have really, really solid tracking, you could use a service like CallRail. They're pretty much all over the world now. One of the better operators out there, but there are loads. There's a big list of those. Essentially, there, what's going to happen is when somebody comes to your website, if they've come from AdWords, the phone number on your site's going to change, either to one of Google's numbers or a CallRail number or whatever, to a trackable number. So that if someone calls that number again, same thing can happen and the machine can shout back at AdWords and say, hey, somebody, the person that just searched for this, the person that just clicked this ad, they just called you. Now, you don't necessarily know what happened on that call, but you can say if the call lasts longer than 30 seconds, treat it as a good call. If it's less than 30 seconds, let's call it a bad call. It was a wrong number or...
You can set that up within CallRail?
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool.
Or even just inside the Google system. Google will give you free toll-free numbers, as many as you need. Now, the difference is they won't tell you what those numbers are. They'll just change the number on your side. You don't get to know because they're going to pick them from pool.
Sure, I gotcha.
So for a few bucks, CallRail is a pretty good solution.
Yep.
With CallRail, you can also then record those calls should you want to. Every business owner seems to love the idea of recording calls. I don't know if they ever have the time to go listen to them, but I think they want to know if Sharon on reception's taking those calls, I better record them just in case. You know, maybe one day I'll go back and use it as a training resource or something.
Right.
But just start with that and measure the number of calls you get. Measure the number of people that actually fill out your form for whatever it is that you're offering. And link that data back into AdWords so that you know which keywords, which campaigns, which accounts, whatever, lead to success and which don't. Do more of the good, less of the bad. That's really the game.
Is there an opportunity for it to auto optimize for you now?
I mean, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. You don't have to be doing it yourself. Like Google's learning, you know, just similar to Facebook, Google's learning from an algorithmic standpoint, learning, you know, just like you just said, what's working, what's not, and optimizing.
Exactly. Yeah. And as with everything with machine learning, the more data, the better.
Sure.
Where that really excels is if you're getting 500 conversions, you know, that could be a call, a form fill, a sale, whatever it is for you. But if you've got 500 of those a month, Google's going to love you and Google's going to have plenty of data to get its teeth stuck into.
Yeah.
At the other end of the scale, 15 a month is kind of the minimum acceptable. And then it struggles. You know, sometimes it can work really well. Sometimes it can go horribly wrong. The machine at this point is a little bit like a toddler. It can surprise you, but it needs supervision. You don't want to trust it blindly to do everything that you tell it to do.
Yeah.
But it's getting better, and it's getting better every second.
Yeah.
And they've got a lot of data to work with because they have access to every single AdWords account in the entire world.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's getting better fast.
I want to ask, before we start to wrap up here, I want to kind of ask an advanced question. And so... when it comes to what is your recommendation on, you know, so we always want to be, if possible, looking at our online marketing or our marketing efforts in general from a holistic standpoint. So how can we leverage Google AdWords to be retargeting people based on their actions on YouTube, based on their search, based on Facebook? You know, how can, and it starts to form a complete picture basically of what people are doing, right? And getting down to the old adage of showing people, you know, the right ad at the right time based on what they're doing and you know, and what they're looking for. Is there a simplified, like high level way to explain how somebody might be able to do that?
So solve attribution.
I start off with that with an advanced question and I ask for a simple answer.
If I could answer that in 2 minutes, I'd probably be a billionaire. I think attribution, yeah, that's the thorny question that sure. everybody's struggled with for a long time. Google, I think they're making great strides in that. There's a brand new tool about to roll out supposedly Q1 this year, so we should be only a few weeks away from it, called Google Attribution, which is kind of a simplified, it's a very, very simple interface. We got a sneak peek last year. They've spent all of their time rearranging the plumbing that happens behind the scenes to give you a very simple interface to say basically how well all of these different areas are working for you. Mm-hmm. So it's looking at your Facebook and your YouTube and everything else. And even if you set it up properly, you're above the line stuff as well. Because you were talking about remarketing. Mm-hmm. So I do want to stress that remarketing is not just limited to showing ads again to people that came from AdWords. It's all of your traffic. And I think probably most of your listeners are very familiar with that, but some people still get confused with that. So if you're running a lot of Facebook traffic right now and a lot of your traffic is coming from that source, you can certainly remarket to those people using Google's display network.
Yep.
You're not limited to just AdWords traffic. I'm not sure if I'm answering the question right.
No, you are. I think more of it is just you are confirming that. No, well, number one, I mean, attribution is obviously a huge, huge topic and
messy.
But the possibility of basically based on people's actions, you know, like you just said right there, if someone's coming from Facebook, you can retarget them, remarket to them with AdWords of some sort.
The best to give a bit more information on that is if your listeners do a Google search for remarketing grid, that's the best information I can give on AdWords. I wrote a blog article. It's actually on the Digital Marketer website, but if you just search for remarketing grid, or maybe search for remarketing grid microdes, pretty sure it'll come up at the top of Google there. Maybe if you can throw that in the show notes, that'll help. But that I think will give it's a very visual way of thinking about your remarketing to visualize who's most likely to be the most profitable person that you could start to show remarketing ads to, and then how things sort of get less likely to be profitable from there. So it's about time, it's about behavior, and you can base your remarketing based on really any kind of behavior on your website that you like. It could be the number of pages that someone's looked at. It could be how long they spent on the site. Did they click on an add to cart button, or did they make it all the way to the checkout page? You can, it's so amazingly complex if you want it to be, that there's huge, huge power there. But by the same token, you don't have to start complicated. Don't get too cute straight away. You know, the best thing you can do is just to say, anyone that's been to my site in the last 30 days, let's try showing them an ad and see what happens. Start really, really basic, which goes with all of this stuff. You know, start with a handful of keywords if you're going to do branding or non-branding. Mm-hmm. Don't start by confusing the hell out of yourself and trying to add 2,000 keywords to an account.
Yeah. I love it. You just kind of you just answered my question, because my final question there for you was what is some parting words for the audience here, just to kind of when they're thinking about AdWords. But you just summed it up right there, just starting with the basic and
don't overthink it. There's a wonderful ad actually for a beer company here in Australia at the moment called the Underthink Tank. Underthink it.
Start small and don't go complex. Right off the bat.
Yeah,
I love
it. And if you find that it's addictive, which many of us do when we start playing with AdWords, then go, okay, well, maybe I can spend a bit more time on this. If you're one of those people that just hates looking at all of this data and all of those charts, then you know you should be outsourcing that. Know enough, hopefully, to outsource it well, be able to ask good questions of whoever you hand the reins to, be able to tell them what metrics you need, what reports do you need from them to enable you to know if it's working for from a high level for your business. You know, what sort of return do you need? If I'm tipping 10 grand in a month, do I need 40 grand back? Do I need 80? Do I need 120? Like, what makes it work?
Yep.
But don't have crazy expectations too.
I can't end without knowing what you just mentioned there. What are, say, the top three questions that somebody might want to ask if they're looking to, if they're, you know, interviewing potential agencies to work with? What are some of the top questions that they definitely want to be asking?
I would start with, how did you learn? Like, have you spent your own money to sell your own stuff? Or have you always been playing with someone else's money? It's one of the reasons that I love Google, and our reps are amazing. But many of the people, if, you know, I've heard so many stories of, you know, when you get stuck, you go and jump on live chat or you call up Google. And the advice that you can be given by some of those people varies wildly and often is pretty bad. But if someone's run their own money to their own stuff, they're going to care so much more about it. They're going to understand it and have much more empathy with you as a business owner in terms of what that takes. I would probably ask about how much they're embracing the new stuff. That Google, I mean, Google changes every other week.
Yeah.
There's always something new. If someone is stuck in the sand and doing stuff that worked beautifully 3 years ago and they're still doing that and just refusing to look at the new stuff because that used to work really well.
Red flag, red flag.
Run away, run away. And I think the huge benefit that we offer is the amazing team that's sitting around me here. There are so many different skills when it comes to AdWords that trying to replace all of that with one in-house person or trying to do it 2 hours a week yourself, you know, you've got code, you've got persuasive ad copy, you've got the detail and the techie stuff, you've got data analysis. Yeah, there's a lot of different skills. That was one of the first things that I figured out, that my first employee actually that was brilliant with pivot tables and Excel, not the best person to be writing persuasive ad copy, you know?
yeah.
Not the best copywriter in the world.
Right.
Need another person. Split that thing in two.
Yep.
And that's just evolved over time, where now it's just an amazingly skilled team that all have like different areas where they're great at. And that's very hard to do in-house. So sort of ask about the capabilities, I guess, that exist there. Because our job is to reduce the overwhelm from that business owner and not to keep giving a homework list every other week of, oh, we need this and we need this, and can you ask your devs to do this? No, that's our job to take that on and get that sorted out so that they can do what they do best, which is run the business.
Yeah, I love it. Mike, super, super helpful. As I told you in the very beginning, I was honest with you. Like, I kind of knew where I wanted this conversation to go, but at the same time, like, it was just like me and you sitting down for coffee and chatting about this, and we covered a lot of different things, and it's quite clear your expertise in this area. So super appreciate you coming on the podcast to talk about all this stuff with us. I want to make sure that people can connect with you. What is the best place for people to reach you?
Send me an email, mike@websavvy.com.au, websavvy.com.au. Or find me on Facebook. I suppose I probably shouldn't push that. I'm the AdWords guy, but I'm on Messenger every day like everybody else. So fb.com/Mike Rhodes. Find me there. Let's be friends and ask me questions.
You might regret putting that out there. I've heard stories from past guests that they were like, holy cow, I had no idea the AOPC effect. So no, but I'll link it up. It's very gracious of you to. So mike@websavvy.com.au and facebook.com/Mike Rhodes.
And I guess for those that want to learn, that's why I created Agency Savvy. So agencysavvy.com. So that is a place for me to teach what we do in here and share the war stories. And it's it's really turned into an amazing community of from absolute rank beginner marketers to some incredibly smart marketers that I respect hugely. And it's not just me answering questions every day. I'm in there every day. We've got a Facebook group and so on. But everybody is helping everybody else, which
That's
is
awesome.
Just phenomenal. And I absolutely love that community. It's been wonderful. So yeah, if you want to learn more, come and do that. If you're currently running AdWords and you think it can do better, hit me up and cool. We can do an audit for you and see if we can improve things.
Awesome. That's agencysavvy.com. I'll link everything up in the show notes. So we had the display grid. You were talking about the remarketing grid and then the three ways to get in touch with you. I'll link all those up in the show notes for today's episode. Mike, again, thank you so much. Looking forward to meeting you in a couple of weeks here. Yes. In San Diego Traffic and Conversion.
I'll see you for a beer very soon, mate.
All right. I'm going to try something new here on the podcast. Here's what I want you to do. Take a screenshot of your listening to this podcast on your phone right now. And I want you to share it in an Instagram story. Okay. And when you do that, tag me. It's my Instagram is @RickMulready. So tag me @RickMulready. And when you tag me, ask me the biggest question that you had from today's episode. And I'm going to respond to you there on Instagram, okay? So just to recap real quick, I'm going to try this out. Take a screenshot of your listening to this podcast on your phone there and share that screenshot in an Instagram story and tag me @RickMulready. And when you tag me, ask me the biggest question that you had from the episode and I will respond to you. I'll answer your question there on Instagram. Okay, going to try that out. Can't wait for it. Also, as I promised at the top of the show, I'm having a blast in my Accelerator group coaching program, which a lot of people have been asking about. Now, this is a 12-month group coaching program that's designed to help you take your business to the next level. And in the Accelerator, we focus on three core elements of growing your business: the foundation, the marketing, and the scaling. And people in the Accelerator are at different levels there. So we focus on what you need the most help with specifically for your business. And this is also based on a framework of three key things here: high-level coaching, community, and accountability. And I created this program because those three things have been integral in allowing me to grow my business to seven figures in 4 years. And I don't say that to brag or anything like that. I'm just sharing with you what's possible when you surround yourself with amazing coaching as well as community and accountability. So I want the same thing for you. So when you join the Accelerator program, you get a 12-month personalized game plan for achieving whatever your goals are in your business and in your life. We do monthly group coaching. So we do two calls a month, which includes training, which includes I bring on guest experts. And also we do hot seat strategy sessions for people during those calls. We do two live private retreats here in San Diego. You also get a VIP experience and a VIP day at one of my FBA live events here in San Diego. You get regular personalized sales funnel critiques, ad critiques, copy reviews, launch strategy critiques, as well as a private Facebook group where you're getting help from a coach on my team as well as me on a regular basis and a whole lot more. So if you think coaching, support, and accountability is something that can help you fast track the success of your business, then I want to invite you to check out my Accelerator program, which you can do over at rickmulready.com/accelerator. I'll also link that up in the show notes for today's episode, which are at rickmulready.com/178. Well, thank you again so much, my friends, for listening to the show today. I really appreciate it. I've got another awesome episode coming your way in episode number 179. So until then, my friends, keep testing your paid traffic to find out what works for you and your business, and then do more of what's working. And I'll see you in the next episode.
Do you want to avoid the seven biggest mistakes that burn through course creators' ad money? I see these over and over and over again, and I put them together in a mini email series. This is not fluff. Each of the seven mistakes, I also have a recorded video tutorial showing you inside of Facebook Ad Manager how to fix those mistakes. This is good, solid, and it will save you money or help you make more money with your Facebook ads. Click down in the show notes below. You'll see the link and you can go download it right now for free.